Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
It is hump day, but it's a very special day because while we miss Mark Schlereth, who is off today, we welcome in Denver's, well, Colorado's, well, really, America's maybe premier snake daddy, snake charmer.
Tis I.
Chad Brown.
Yeah, man.
How you doing?
I'm good. Good to see you this morning.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
We were discussing you. You had everybody talking because anybody who knows Chad knows that you are huge in the reptile world, the reptile business.
Correct.
And you posted a picture recently of one of your green pythons coiled up on like eggs.
Correct.
Very, very cool. Well, so what's the status of, is that Beyonce?
That was Beyonce. So they're green tree pythons. Of course, you saying the reptile business, which tends to mean the reptile breeding business. I breed reptiles and sell their babies. Once upon a time, I did that on a commercial scale and produced thousands of baby reptiles every year. Back in late 2011 is when I had a fire in my facility and I lost the breeding collection. And as, I guess we'll call it luck would have it or whatever the case may be, my boy, Big Al, your boy.
Yeah.
Felt sorry for me. D-Mac was out, asked me to come in and fill in for the rest of the week on radio to kind of take my mind off what had just happened. I did a couple days on radio. I thought, huh, it's not too bad. Maybe the callers aren't as awful as I thought they were.
Now they're just the texters.
So that actually was what got me started doing media. So you can't cry over dead snakes because it doesn't bring them back when you have a fire. But you move on to the next step. What's the next play? Yeah. Next play for me was broadcasting. But to circle back to your original point, yes, Beyonce laid 16 eggs. My green tree pythons, I've got 4 of them. 1 male, Jay-Z. And the 3 females are Destiny's Child. We got Beyonce, Kelly, and Michelle.
Uh-huh.
This year, Beyonce's already laid her eggs, 16 eggs. Kelly is up next. Hopefully we get the same size clutch of eggs, about 16 to 20, hopefully. And, I'll be selling babies in about 4 months.
It's cool. And we were talking, you were telling me about how it happens and you get to create, almost different strains of pythons. I mean, it's cool.
It's kind of
stuff that's also made in a horror movie, but,
it's a fascinating hobby.
I'm sure you take care of all of them.
And,
end up in anybody's pool.
I think people think of, dog breeds as dog breeds.
Yeah.
They're man-made, whether you're talking about the tiny Chihuahua all the way up to a big giant St. Bernard, those are all man-manipulating genes. And I'm kind of doing the same similar things in the reptile world, trying to create new and different looking reptiles, whether it's pattern or color or in some cases sizes, just like dogs.
Man, it's cool. Yeah. I recommend follow Chad on Twitter and check out that photo of Beyonce coiled up on her eggs. It's really, and you were telling me that in the wild, Mama Python, hey, stays on those eggs for like 55 days?
Yeah. In some cases longer. She'll stay until the eggs start to hatch. So, she'll find a nice kind of tree hollow to get some security, lay her eggs, coil around them like that picture on my Twitter, and they'll stay around those eggs for as long as it takes for them to hatch. Maybe leaving once or twice to grab a drink of water, and that's about it. That's awesome.
Now that's commitment.
Maternal care.
That's commitment right there. That is commitment. Well, we got a lot to bounce off you. Want to get your thoughts on all things Broncos, the quarterback situation, Von Miller, draft strategy, free agent strategy. I do want to give a shout out though. We talked about this yesterday. The idea that, if Nikola Jokic wants to make a real MVP statement, these are the kind of games where he and the Nuggets have to come up big and wow. Easily. I mean, I think it's fair to say the bubble Nuggets are back. based on what they did last night. Easily their best performance of the season. Dominating performance. Back-to-back nights, by the way. And against a Milwaukee team that was home and rested, and they destroyed them. And Jokic gets his 50th career triple-double, becomes only the second center ever to reach triple-doubles, joining Wilt Chamberlain, who had 78, and Jokic is now also just the ninth player in history to record 50 triple-doubles, and only Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson did it faster than he did. And those guys were basically point guards.
Yeah, I think Joker is on the path to solidifying himself as an all-time great. Just because of his unique skill set, what he brings to the table that, you know, we've rarely seen or ever seen from that position.
I'm curious to see, and we've got ESPN on this morning, and I know I shouldn't make that the be-all, end-all, but, you know, the fact is they're very influential, and they have the NBA, and they promote the NBA, and I'm curious to see if they make that big of a deal of what Jokic did last night, mm-hmm. and whether or not this is, hey, this is now your leading MVP candidate, or did he make a statement? Of course, whenever I do look up and they're talking basketball, they're talking about James Harden going back to Houston, so, for a game, but I don't know. We shall see. All right. On the Ramoslaw.com text line, we always encourage your feedback throughout the course of the morning. What is this? Love Chad Brown. By the way, D-Mac was saying he doesn't like the 6 a.m. listeners. He prefers the 8 a.m. listeners as they have good jobs. What? What?
Oh, D-Mac.
What? 6 a.m. listeners are the best listeners of the entire station.
Yeah.
Easily, by far.
Dedicated.
They're dedicated. They're up early. They're probably getting a workout in before they go to work. Or they're just coming back from work.
We like either one of those folks.
Wow. Does it shock anybody that DMAC likes the 8 a.m. texters?
No.
Talk about deserving each other. All right. We are off and rolling. So, wait a minute. One more thing. Jay-Z gets to impregnate
all of Destiny's Child. A male snake in a breeding program.
Yeah.
You get to have your pick of lots of females.
Wow. Wow. The legend grows.
I'm getting a hint of jealousy from over there, Mike.
Hey, I hate snakes, but yeah. Normally, but
hopefully your wife's not listening.
That snake I'm very jealous of. Okay. We are up and rolling. I want to get your thoughts as a defensive guy, as a guy who knows football, where you're at with Von Miller and what the Broncos should do with the Vonster. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
With Chad Brown sitting in for Mark, who is off today. And already the texters responding. Great to hear Chad this morning. Could you guys break down the draft talent Denver should consider? And has Fangio developed a Denver defensive identity? Chris and Berthard. Actually, let's start with that second part of that question. Did you have a sense after a couple of years now who and what Vic Fangio is on defense? Guy came to us as a defensive guru. Has he lived up to the billing in your mind?
Guru? No. I see what he's trying to accomplish. But I think the results have clearly been, you know, mixed. Are they towards the first half of defenses in the league? Yeah. And occasionally are they a top 10? Top seven, top five defense? Yeah. But I was just thinking about this when you were talking about the Nuggets in the last segment, how they've won two in a row and this, that, and the other. But there's also some maddening inconsistency that comes along with the Nuggets, and that's also part of this defense. And it tends to fade the last 2 years late in the season as well. That also speaks to you know, teams beginning to figure it out. And as a coordinator, your ability to go to the next page, the next layer of the defense and present those offensive coordinators with some more difficult things to decipher and figure out is not really there. Now, you know, could he have thought that the Broncos would go as long as they did without a sack last year? No. Well, I'm sorry, 2 years ago. And then this last season, with all the injuries and going into games with who's playing cornerback for you? You know, I know how difficult a job it is to be a defensive coordinator in a league where the rules are clearly slanted for the offense. So you're already facing an uphill battle. But when you have things like games where you don't have cornerbacks out there, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to call in that situation? So I've got some grace, but defensive guru haven't seen that just yet.
Well, here's the thing, and I already can't anticipate what plenty of you are going to say. Well, the offense and the quarterback, they were 25th in points last year defensively. They gave up almost 28 points per game. And they were down near the bottom as well when just overall team defense as well. So when you factor that in, along with a defense that appears to be facing some serious decisions and seems to be a defense that is at a crossroads and definitely needs to be sort of remade, rejuvenated, just how much of a weakness right now is this defense shaping up to be? And it leads into what I teased here at the end of the last break is, what do you do with Von Miller?
For this defense, to your point earlier, playing better on offense certainly is going to help a defense. It's going to get you out of those short fields. It's going to get you some time on the sideline to get the adjustments done. All those kind of things. I think if the offense were a top of the half of the league offense, this defense improves 5 or 6 places almost instantly. Doesn't make it a top, you know, 5 defense, but instantly they're a much better defense.
5 or 6 points better?
No, 5 or 6 places,
okay,
as far as
what about
ranking within the defense.
But what about points better? I mean, I think that's always something I've been curious about. What is that relationship between here's what a good offense means to a defense? What does that mean in something as simple as points per game? If they're averaging 28 points allowed right now, if you had a better offense, just a top half of the NFL, I'm not even talking about an elite offense. I mean, is it 3 points, 4, 7?
You start getting into, okay, they're a top half of the league offense, but are they an offense that is, you know, close to 50-50 running pass? And are they chewing up clock and limiting the other team's possessions? Or are they slinging around offense who turns it over frequently and puts their defense in bad spots? So just because you're a more highly ranked offense, there's also nuance within that. I think as a defensive guy, and I've yet to meet a defensive head coach who just love to throw it all around the yard all the time. They tend to want their offenses to be a little bit more control, time of possession, limit possessions kind of thing. If Vic Fangio were to dial up the offense he prefers, yes, his defense would move probably even close to a touchdown better.
Well, okay, you just triggered something there. Then if a defensive coordinator would prefer your offense to play that way, and your defensive coordinator is also the head coach, how do you think he felt when he sat back and watched the Pat Shurmur offense that featured a young quarterback, raw young quarterback, throwing it around 35, 38, 40 times a game?
Couldn't feel good.
Well, then why didn't he do something about it? I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but
a little bit.
I mean,
you
if
are.
No, I mean, because what you say makes a lot of sense. So
thank you.
Why didn't he step in and order the code red? Yo, Pat, you're not helping our offense. You're not helping the quarterback. You're not helping my defense. Change.
The run game wasn't exactly lighting up this year. You weren't. At what point was the outside of maybe two games, 3 games max, was the run game something that you felt was going to overpower someone's defense this last season?
Yeah, it was not often, only a couple of times.
Right. So as much as you want to, you know, say run the ball, or Vic Fangio, how come you didn't just demand they run the ball? You got to do what works or what's got a chance to work. But clearly, having your young quarterback throw the ball 40-plus times a game, even 30-plus times a game, for Drew Lock was just simply too much exposure for him. He's not there yet. We all saw it. So I guess in a harsh reality kind of way, just weren't good enough, Mike.
Yeah.
They just weren't good enough.
I stepped over because you made an interesting point I wanted to follow up on. So let me get back to that original question I asked you. What do you do with Vaughn?
I know the Vaughn thing is not a topic because of J.J. Watt. But there's a couple of differences, and I saw instantly everybody wanted to say, well, if J.J. Watt gets this amount of money, then Von Miller automatically gets this amount of money. J.J. Watt came back last year and proved he was healthy. Von Miller has yet to do that. J.J. Watt is a well-known, clearly established locker room leader. Not a jokester, not a prankster, not a fun guy to be around, a clearly established leader. So for the Arizona Cardinals, who have Kyler Murray, who has a personality type, is not an alpha-type quarterback. Very quiet, soft-spoken, good kid, very professional about football. I know lots of guys in that coaching staff. Clearly, Vance Joseph is there. My high school teammate, Marcus Robertson, is a defensive backs coach. So I know those guys there, and it's not a dig on Kyler Murray. It's just not his personality type. So they need other leaders within that locker room, within that organization, to step up and take the mantle. So as much as they're paying J.J. Watt for what he does on the field, they're also paying that in the locker room. So it's not quite apples to apples for Von Miller and for J.J. Watt. There's some clear and distinct differences as to what the expectations are and what you're paying for. Von Miller's got some legal troubles here in town. Von Miller hasn't proven himself to be healthy coming back from this lower leg injury. As a pass rusher, the worst injuries you can have are lower leg injuries. So I am not of the thought that automatically because J.J. Watt gets this, Von Miller can just stay pat. If I'm George Payton, I'm not responsible for what the Arizona Cardinals did. I'm not beholden to that. That's not my deal. My deal is going to be something different. You've got to take some of the risk, Von Miller. It's got to be a considerable incentive package. And if you've got sacks, maybe there's a way I can do a per sack bonus or something like that to get you close to where you need to be. But I can't go into the season with you as an unknown from a health perspective with the kind of dollars I'm supposed to pay you.
All right. Well, I want to know then what you would do with that first step, which is to decide what to do with that option in which you, if you pick up the option, you're guaranteed $7 million. You'll give me an answer to that. Also, we've got the Morning Brew. Much more on just a impressive blowout win for the Nuggets. Their signature win of the season, bar none. And, hey, just when you think the news couldn't get any worse for the Rockies, it can. That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep hiking, and you're going to crap thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
You ain't got nothing to say. MVP candidate. Dominating, playing like a true big man. He has the ability to step out, and he does that, but that's not all he does.
Right.
You saw the fadeaway, went inside with the spin moves, keeping his guys involved. I ain't got nothing bad to say about big fella at all.
There he is, Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal after the game last night on TNT, talking about Nikola Jokic, who delivered yet another just virtuoso performance. Another triple-double as he went for 37 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. He becomes only the second center ever to reach 50 career triple-doubles, joining Wilt Chamberlain. And Chad Brown, who's in for Mark Schlereth, I think this was the signature kind of performance that not only the Nuggets delivered, but the fact that they delivered it against Giannis Antetokounmpo in his building. I think that Nikola Jokic is firmly cemented as one of the top two or three MVP candidates. I don't know if he'll win the MVP, but he won't finish any worse than third in the voting.
I don't think there's any denying that fact. But when you, I think when you travel around, you know, folks recognize that Jokic is a good player, but I don't think they have a true understanding of how special he is and what a truly unique talent. The Nuggets just don't get a lot of national love. It's just, it's unfortunate for a guy like him, because he is truly a deserving to be in the conversation. It's not some media creation where he's having a hot season and everybody's locally trying to push him. We're maybe in some ways behind the curve. That's how good he's been over the last couple of years.
Well, I said this yesterday. In order for him and the Nuggets to truly get the attention they deserve, they have to become this generation's Spurs. Small market team, led by a guy like Tim Duncan. Nothing flashy in his game. The big fundamental. But when you're winning NBA championships and you're playing in the finals every June, the national media has no choice but to pay attention to you and elevate you and praise you and put you in the Hall of Fame and put you in the MVP conversation. That's the next step for Jokic and the Nuggets. Next on the Morning Brew.
You need a safety that has good range, and it's not just like that in-the-box safety. In fact, I know Matt Rule of Carolina brought the words in from the college that it's a positionless player that you have, because sometimes he's a safety, sometimes he's a linebacker, sometimes he's a slot cornerback. But Justin Simmons is really good, and I think it's at the top of the list as far as safeties this year.
There is our Broncos senior writer John Clayton from DenverFan.com talking about Justin Simmons. All right, where are you at with Simmons? My man Stink has always said, look, Simmons is a really good player for the kind of safety he is. But if you want to be the highest paid or one of the highest paid safeties, you have to be one of those Jamal Adams, come down, you know, play in the box type safeties. Do you see the same differences? And should that impact how much he gets paid?
I think I'll differ from Mark as to, you know, what kind of safety is deserving of the top money. I think you can be a more of a free safety kind of safety. But you got to be a playmaker, and I need to see game-changing kind of plays. Think about Earl Thomas when the Legion of Boom was operating great. That's the kind of center field safety that I think deserves top dollar. Guys who make huge plays. Justin Simmons is a fantastic player. He's one of the rare players you could say he's probably a better dude than he is a football player, and he's an all-pro player. But to be the top highest paid safety in my mind, I'm looking for Ed Reed. I'm looking for Troy Polamalu. I'm looking for Earl Thomas in his prime. I don't see that kind of playmaking ability from Justin Simmons.
Next on the Morning Brew. Well, according to MLB Network's John Heyman, the Colorado Rockies are not expected to sign shortstop Trevor Story to a contract extension anytime soon. He tweeted out yesterday, the Rockies are said not to have the budget for any big signing at the moment, so barring some big change, there won't be an extension coming anytime soon for superstar shortstop Trevor Story. I just watched some baseball highlights earlier this morning, and they showed Nolan Arenado lining a RBI single to right field, wearing that resplendent cardinal red. Get ready, folks. Trevor Story's going to be dealt this year.
Yeah.
What do you mean they don't have the budget? What do you mean they don't have the budget? That $50 million that you sent St. Louis put you over the edge with your budget?
It doesn't... It sounds so ridiculous. It just... I wonder how people can be true Rockies fans considering these moves and the lack of moves for to field a competitive team, a consistently competitive team, to keep your players, to resign your players. I mean, the disappointment just goes on and on and on and on and on. At what point does a Rockies fan just throw their hands up and go, you know what, I'm cool to have a nice evening over there off of Blake Street, but I can't be emotionally invested in this anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. We really won't know until you're allowed to have full capacity back at the games again to see what kind of statement Rockies fans are going to make in terms of staying away. I mean, I know personally, I can just speak for myself. You know, I'm somebody that if the Rockies were a seriously contending playoff team, I would go with my son, or I'd take my family to easily probably 7 to 10 games during the course of the year. I'll go to a couple.
It's a nice night out.
And you know what? I have a 14-year-old who is, I'm actually pretty fortunate, is actually a 14-year-old boy who likes baseball. You know, it actually will sit down and watch baseball. Good luck finding many 14-year-olds that will do that these days. So I don't want to kill that interest in the game. I want to try to cultivate it. Of course, I'll be making sure I pick good opponents to go see. Next on the Morning Brew.
I've obviously seen his career. He's had an unbelievable career. He's an incredible athlete, and what he's been able to accomplish, he's been a winner at every stage of his life. That's not a coincidence. You're a winner because of the way that you work and because of the aura that you give off and because of the talent that you have. And I think that he has all of those things, and he's going to continue to win and continue to have success. And that's a part of the reason that I'm here. I told him yesterday in Texas, I'm here because I believe in you.
J.J. Watt talking about why he joined the Cardinals and the influence that Kyler Murray had in making his decision. Do you come away from this whole J.J. Watt to the Cardinals journey, courtship, convinced that he truly is going to a place where he believes he can win as opposed to just chasing dollars?
They've got a top 2 or 3 tier quarterback. They've got a top 3 wide receiver in the league. With J.J. Watt now, they have 3 of the better pass rushers in the league with Haason Reddick and Chandler Jones. They've got a all-pro safety in Buda Baker. They've got some pieces together out there. J.J. Watt's clearly comfortable with Vance Joseph and the defense that he calls. I think J.J. Watt is not just blowing smoke, and it's not about just the dollars there in Arizona. They do have a legitimate shot. If Cliff Kingsbury just was able to restrain his desire to be a freaking play-calling genius, they would have won 2 or 3 more games last year.
Good time right now to be Vance Joseph, huh?
Having the time of his life.
Man. He is set up now, like you just laid out with these pieces on defense. He is set up to have the kind of year defensively that could get him another head coaching job.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget, they drafted Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson.
That's right.
Last year.
That's right.
Who went through a learning curve as a young linebacker, but I think will be a much better player. So they got playmakers on all 3 levels of that defense. They got a quarterback who's one of the most difficult guys to deal with defensively in the league. They can run the ball pretty effectively. They got some good offensive linemen. There is a talented team out there. Obviously, it's a very rough division, but that's a division that's so good, all 4 teams can make the playoffs.
All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Want to get your reaction to everything we just covered here in the Brew? We'll get your thoughts on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And I need your answer as to what the next step is with Von Miller. Do you pick up that option? What is your plan with Von? We'll find out next. All right, Chad Brown in for Stank, who's off today. We were talking about Von Miller earlier this hour. So you made it clear that because of injuries, because of locker room presence, J.J. Watt, as of right now, is a better player than Vaughn, maybe worth more than what Vaughn is going to be able or should be able to command out there?
There's less question marks about J.J. Watt.
Okay.
Because he came back and played this last season. He'd proven himself to be healthy. Vaughn hasn't done that. J.J. Watt does not have looming legal consequences over his head as Von Miller does. And J.J. Watt is a proven locker room leader, whereas Vaughn's leadership has been questioned. That was the point I was trying to make when people...
What's wrong with Vaughn's leadership? Or maybe that's the wrong term, but what does it lack?
Without being in the locker room, I don't necessarily know. But leadership ain't for everybody, and that's okay. And there's lots of ways to lead. Until I started doing this, radio stuff, I grew up being a really shy, quiet guy, and I was still that guy during my NFL career. So my way of leading was working hard and practicing hard, but giving rah-rah speeches and calling everybody up. No, that's not what I did. I wanted you to follow my example. I wanted to be a guy who set an example. But that's not, you know, Mike Holmgren wanted me to be a different, he wanted me to be Reggie White. Tad Brown, I'm not Reggie White. I'm not a ordained preacher who goes up and speaks in front of people all the time. That's not who I was. It's not who I am now. So it's okay for Von Miller to not be that guy. You can be the best player on the team, as he has been for a number of years for the Broncos, and not be the rah-rah leader kind of guy. That's okay. But at some point, you know, you need to give off an aura of follow me. I'm the guy who can set the right example for the young guys. And with legal troubles over your head, that's not the kind of guy that the Broncos are hoping for.
All right, so what do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do? I mean, and
it's a
tricky
one.
Hanging over their head is this middle of March, couple weeks from now, deadline to decide whether or not to pick up his $18 million option, which guarantees $7 million of it. What do you do?
Well, I guess the first question is, what do we know about the legal situation, and when will we know more? That's one situation. Where is he in his rehab? That's another question. I think the safest thing to do is to pay the $7 million, and that allows you to keep your options open.
Even if that ultimately means cutting him? And eating that $7 million?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. But at least you can retain his rights, and then you can use him for these teams that were going after J.J. Watt and didn't get J.J. Watt.
Well.
Green Bay. Cleveland. Buffalo. Tennessee. Las Vegas. I think they probably would be reluctant for that one.
So you're saying try to trade him?
I'm saying that if you pay the option, then that gives you that option.
That option.
If you refuse it, then that's it. He's done. His contract's up. He's a free agent.
See, I just move on. Because I don't see the Broncos contending for at least another couple of years. At which point, you're looking at a 34-year-old pass rusher who clearly his best days are behind him and may not be that huge DeMarcus Ware locker room presence that you'd be looking to bring in to your team. And for a team that has to rejuvenate their defense, rebuild their defense, I'd rather all my resources, all my assets go towards younger players.
They've got a decent amount of cap space. To give up $7 million to get draft capital back, that would be a trade that most general managers would be willing to take.
You're more along the lines of just using him to dangle in a trade more so than you see him being a big part of this team next year.
If the reports are correct that there was, you know, four or five teams that were heavily interested in J.J. Watt.
Right.
Those teams obviously need pass rush help.
Right.
They're also going to be interested in Von Miller.
I see what you're saying. So Cleveland, Indy, the teams that were...
Yes, and those teams are
most
teams
prominently mentioned
who are far closer to the Super Bowl than the Broncos are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're willing to give this pass rusher more maybe than they would in a normal circumstance.
Okay.
Because we're a piece away defensively.
Okay.
We need this piece.
Okay.
So you can leverage that.
Okay.
Or you can also just go back to Von and say, hey, we guaranteed you $7 million. We want to do a new deal that takes some of the risk off of our side, puts a little bit on your side, and gives you a back page full of incentives. And if you, Von Miller, play like you think Von Miller can play, then you'll make plenty of money. I have yet to meet a player who says, you know what? I'm not going to bet on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I lack confidence in me. I don't know if I can do it anymore. Players don't think that way. So general managers, the prove-it deals, the incentive-laden deals, it's like crack to players, because every player thinks, oh man, I can, you want to give me $1 million per sack? What if I get 20 sacks this year? Well, Von Miller, you ain't sniffed 20 sacks in 5 years, man. But in the player's head, That's the thinking. What if I get 20 sacks? Mm-hmm. That's $20 million. So there's lots of ways to play this, but you can't play it unless you give that $7 million option and retain the rights and the opportunity to either trade him or try to get a deal that takes some of the risk away from you as the Denver Broncos.
All right, you won me over.
That was easy.
Well, no, more from this. I still don't believe that it makes sense to have Vaughn part of this team moving forward. They have to get younger. They have to think about the next great Bronco team, and Vaughn's not going to be a member of the next great Bronco team. He's going to be done by then. So I don't think he should be on this team, but if you can momentarily hold on to his rights so that you can get something for him, yeah, that's something I would like to see happen.
As a dude who spent his last couple of years bouncing around the league, I know we're up on a break, I would have probably preferred to just remain a Seahawk and finish my career there. I'm sure Vaughn would rather finish his career here in Denver and not bounce around. Because once you start bouncing around, then you literally bounce around and you become that old guy who gets called a week into training camp or in week three of the season. That's not the way, you know, a guy who was Super Bowl MVP and all that stuff should go out.
Okay. Good stuff. Look at that. We're not even a full hour into the show. You're already convincing me. You're already winning me over.
I didn't even try real hard.
I know you didn't really try, but that made sense. It makes sense. See? Makes sense, and I'll listen.
That's the way I operate. I try to do say
if only some other people could follow that lead. All right. Coming up next, let's see if you can convince me and others what the right direction is for what the Broncos need to do at the quarterback position. That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.